love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. That's Dr. Drew. Drew likes the new opening to the show.
Good.
Yeah, that's a bad sign, Anderson. That's a very bad sign.
Yes, I can pick losers like no one else.
Yeah, that's like my dad saying, nice car. That means, run. It's going to explode. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist, taking back Sunday. The band in studio tonight. Adam and Mark are in here first, and then Matt's going to rotate through the joint. God bless you. Good to see you again.
Oh, hey. Thanks for having us. We're also certified physicians, too, just so you know.
Oh, great. Oh, good, because Drew usually nods off about 11 o'clock, so you guys
take over.
Cool.
Step in. Yeah. We'll pull some of the slack. Speaking of pulling slack, Kimmel tonight is Taking Back Sunday. It's going to be on the show this very evening. Mm-hmm. We're going to. Was that experience good?
Yes, great, great. It's definitely a little bit nerve wracking, but awesome time.
Yeah. Why nerve wracking?
Well, because you grow up watching shows like that, and then all of a sudden you're on one, and it's kind of like, what are we doing here? You know?
Right.
So, but
yeah, I didn't. You know, the first and only time I did Letterman. Biff Henderson, if you watch the show, he's the black stage manager. When I used to watch all the time, Biff, who was a sort of nice, balding black man, would be in Biff would go out on location, it'd be Biff at the Olympics and this and that. And right before you walk out on stage, Biff Henderson is standing there holding the curtain, getting ready to open it and cue you. And you're just sort of looking at him going, what are you doing? Shouldn't you... Like, is this a bit we're doing? And it's like, no, this is my job. I moved the curtain. I'm the stage manager, remember? And it's like, yeah, but you're Biff Henderson, stage manager.
Biff Henderson.
Yeah, it's like Marcus Welby, MD. He's not a real doctor. He's you're not supposed to be. All right.
There we go.
All right, well, hold the curtain then. But it's surreal, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. It's all right. The good news is
you get over it fast.
Yeah. You get bitter. You get jaded, like Drew over here.
I was going to say like you.
And now, like me.
Yeah.
And now, TV has been whacked up. It's a pie that's been whacked up into so many pieces that no one watches anymore.
Right.
Now, if it was a pie, it would be wafer thin.
Is it true?
Yeah, it would be. I mean it like when people, hey, the Beatles are on Ed Sullivan. Well, 66% of the country watched it.
At least.
Yeah. Maybe 80% of the TVs were turned on. I Love Lucy. It's like, Thursday night. Hey, everyone just turn on I Love Lucy and watch I Love Lucy.
Absolutely kills me, though, is the quality. I mean, while there's pure schlock crap out there.
Yes.
The quality of some of the programming is so superior. I watched 6 Feet Under tonight. I thought, oh, my God.
No, there's too much good on
so
TV.
Good.
There's too much good.
Well, you get that, and then you also get the reality TV shows that are the absolute worst.
There's too much good.
And too much bad.
And there's also a ton of crap, but then there's a lot of really stupid people. So that crap's
gonna
work.
Of who's watching.
Yeah.
Right? That's most where the viewers go.
Listen, Sunny D sells a lot of product each year. You know what I'm saying?
Good times.
A lot of dumb people who have TV sets and are thirsty. The point is, you grew up watching Kimmel.
Yes.
Shows of that genre.
I've been watching Kimmel since I was, I don't know, 5, 6, Mark, you?
Very young.
Yeah.
I remember watching him as a lad myself, too, never dreaming that one day, A, I'd be working with him, and B, I'd be older than he is.
Yeah.
That's the part I never counted on. As a young lad, dad smoking a pipe, scurrying me up the stairs, telling me I couldn't stay up late to watch Kimmel. Kimmel sitting there, pork chop sideburns with some gray on it, chain smoking, talking.
Meeting Burt Reynolds and Dinah Shore.
A young Burt Reynolds and Dinah Shore. And me actually now being older than he is.
No, the truth is, I actually saw the first week when Snoop Dogg hosted the first week, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn, this show is really, really funny.
Yeah.
And we were kind of just starting out at that time. So
well,
now we're playing it.
Is a genius. Cool. And you can see Taking Back Sunday on Kimmel tonight. Also, speaking of Kimmel, Crank Yankers tonight. New season on Comedy Central. And speaking of Kimmel, too, these guys are big Windy City Heat fans, which won some award for best comedy at the Montreal Comedy Festival, which is, I guess, a good thing. So finally getting its due. How did you discover Windy City Heat? And by the way, Windy City Heat's an underground movie we produced and we're in, and it's mostly Jimmy and I did a little bit. And it's starting to catch on as a cult classic, though. It's been out for a year, and people are starting to find it. How did you find Windy City Heat?
Well, tonight was actually the second time that we were on the Jimmy Kimmel Show. So so the first time that we were on, he just handed us...
he made him watch it.
the three of the DVDs, and we were in the middle of the tour at the time. And
had nothing else to do.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, no, but we after watching the first five minutes of it, it turned into all of our inside jokes revolved around, like, Family Guy and that for a long time.
Family Guy.
Alex Borstein in here.
Alex Borstein, the mom from Family Guy. Somebody I basically knew from Acme Comedy Theater. I actually kicked her out of my kitchen one time.
And we spent Thursday with Mila Kunis.
Oh, yes.
And my spending most of the time begging her to let me be a voice on Family Guy.
Drew's such a, you know... Drew, you're an idiot. You know, like it's like you begging a Dalmatian for a job as a fireman.
I know.
You understand? They're just bit players.
I know.
She went on about what family they are and the community they are.
Please. She's going to be waiting outside for you after the show for saying that. Watch.
Look, you want me to put a call into the Seth man? Say the word. Say the word, and I'll call Seth MacFarlane.
The word.
You got to say it, though. You want me to do it, I'll do it, but you got to say something.
Please, Mr. Crowley.
All right, if you're not going to pipe up, I'm not going to do it. Taking Back Sunday, number one requested song two nights in a row, by the way, on K-Rock, the mother station out here in Los Angeles. And not only is K-Rock the mother station of Loveline, it's really the mother station of the alternative universe.
Yeah.
I mean, number one station many, many years. It's perennial. It's the New York Yankees of radio stations, yes?
Yes.
Been around.
Even in New York.
Started the K-Rock in New York, but not K-Rock Los Angeles.
Yes. Oh, no, both. They're both just huge.
Man, you're going to make a great politician one day.
Yeah, right.
Well, where'd you guys grow up, by the way? I probably asked you that last time you were in here.
Well, the band is like it's a Long Island, New York band, but Adam is the only one who's not from New York.
Yeah, well, Fred, too, is from Philly.
Oh, Fred. Yeah, Fred.
I grew up in the Southeast in North
Carolina.
Where'd
you guys
meet? They were, Taking Back Sunday actually played a show in North Carolina, and they were minus a bass player. So.
Wait, you were in the bar that night and just walked up on the stage?
Yeah.
What?
Pretty much, like, it was kind of, something straight out of a Bukowski book. Like, I was drinking, and then they were playing, so I walked up, grabbed a bass, and next thing I knew, we're number one requested
song. Do people know that story?
Wow.
I just made that up.
They had a cattle call. There was a little blurb in Dramalogue, and bam, and he just went in. And they said they had to write the right look. All right, let's hear something from Taking Back Sunday. How about it? Let's hear that number one.
All right.
Most
and then we will take some calls tonight.
Well, we took three last night, Drew.
Yeah, I know.
I had things on my chest. I had to get off.
Aren't you guys supposed to take calls all the time?
We're supposed to take
just
calls.
Three?
Adam. Wait, there's going to be a new Adam in town.
Let me tell you.
Fired, buddy.
Sometimes I have more wind than others. And speaking of wind, I blew such a fart tonight that my wife was at the sink with the sink running. And you know, there's times when you think you're safe.
You're in the new house, the old house?
New house.
Oh, my God.
Old house, sorry. You know there's times you think it's safe to fart, like what a guy's coming by with a leaf blower or something. There's those okay times to fart, you know? Yeah. A fire engine going by, you know?
Like,
when the wife's at the sink and the sink's got the steel sink and the water's running full bore and her back's to you and you're two rooms over, I could hear her yell, "What was that?" She's a little nervous. And that's like, think fast. Fart. That's it. That's all I could do. This is the best I could do. But when the actual, you know, when it's more than a sound, it's a vibration.
Oh, sure. You know what I mean? It wasn't the smell.
You don't smell it. You feel it.
Oh, it was actually hit her in the chest.
Shockwave.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Does your wife get upset when you do things like that, or is she cool?
Put it this way. Here's how bad my wife. I mean, here's how broken she is. She thanked me for peeing in the toilet tonight because I usually take a whiz in the sink. I mean, I'm actually taking a leak in the toilet. Because she was hogging the sink. She was at the on the sink doing something, and I'm taking a leak. And she said, "Oh, look at you going in the toilet. Thank you.
Such a big boy.
Thank you. What a boy. What a lad. 40 years old. Finally being in the toilet. I'm going to get you a toy. This is great. You need a little, you need a little treat or something. She's like a little liver snap or something. So, yeah, she's broken, obviously, if she's thanking me for urinating in the place where human beings urinate. Yeah, I pee in the sink.
He farts
it's my thing.
And does the Dutch oven thing.
Dude, that is the greatest.
And she doesn't like it.
Oh, she's no.
not appreciative. Not a good audience.
I think that's genius.
Yeah.
He does too. She hasn't.
Yeah. No, I do. She doesn't. It's the flap. It's the wave. It's the waft thing. It's the essence thing, you know. It's the scoop. Especially when you go with the two-hand, underhand scoop, you know. It's an offering. You know what I mean? It's a here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, sample my essence.
Dude, that's love.
That's what I say. It's greatest in the
here,
car.
Honey.
Oh. Okay. Listen, here. Let me just say this to women about the farting thing, too. It's a little bit of a Mexican standoff we have with the broads, which is we think farts are funny. They don't think farts are funny. It's like Palestine and Israel and stuff. Here's the deal. We're not going to back off. Ladies?
It's in your genes.
It's in our genes. Yeah. We can't help it. It's asking.
Here's the scary thing.
Asking a lion not to eat meat.
Done. When your wife reacts negatively, what do you think?
It's funnier.
Thank you.
And I can't figure out why she reacts. But here's what I'm saying. Let's stop quarreling. You guys just give in. We can't be budged on this. We'll pick up our underpants and put them in the hamper.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe I'll start peeing in the sink 3 days a week.
There's a compromise.
And not do it on Easter or something. I mean, there's room for negotiation, and I'm ready to make
concessions. In areas where you can change.
Where I can change.
Yeah, sure.
I think I can change in certain areas.
But you'll never not laugh at a fart.
We're not going to get... We can make no concessions on farts, and so let's just move past this.
Farting's always funny.
Always funny.
Never
always
not funny.
So you ladies, embrace it.
Yes.
Stop fighting it. Get on board the fart train. It's leaving Fart Central every hour on the hour. Get on board, and like I said, we'll make concessions and other things. We'll ask for directions or do whatever it is you want us to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do that. Yeah, ladies, get on the fart train. Let's leave it. It's a good Cat Stevens song, too, by the way, if you ever heard that one. Fart train. All right. Well, we got to take some calls. We got to hear a song.
All right, let's hear the song now, and then calls.
All right. But I don't want to do it if it's going to be an inconvenience for you, Drew.
No, I hear the song now. Get some coffee.
Yeah. Oh, now what about enjoying the song with the band right here? You don't get up and leave.
I don't think he really cares about our song.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, let's get the song over with.
We better take calls.
No, we should hear the song that you should enjoy.
Don't worry, I will.
Okay.
I think you're lying.
Hold on, can I trust you to rock? Here's the deal I need to make, Drew.
Yeah.
I'm going to need to trust you to rock.
Yeah.
I need the ladies to get on the fart train.
All right.
If those two things can be done, we can move forward with the show.
Okay. I think we can go on.
All right. A Decade Under the Influence, name of the song, Take Back Sundays. And here we go.
Can't stand until the long drive home. It's not safe and close to the window. are the best ever. I got a bad feeling about this. I got a bad feeling about this.
Coming over, but it never was enough. I thought of you and my worst friends are the best ever.
I got a bad feeling about this. I got a bad feeling about this.
Coming over, but it never was enough. I thought of you and my worst friends are the best ever.
Where You Want to Be, out now.
Today.
Today, as we speak. All right, Drew, could we take some phone
calls? I'm anxious to discuss with the other physicians on the panel here. We've got some direct treponemal antigen tests we want to discuss here.
Oh, yeah. Good. Lori?
Yes?
You're 21?
Yes.
What's up?
I found out last month that I had chlamydia. Mm-hmm. And I've only ever had one partner. It's been the same partner for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if it's possible in any way for it to have gone unnoticed.
Hold on a second. Our crack screeners here put syphilis up, and that's why I was talking about direct treponemal antigens. Completely different disease.
Yeah.
Chlamydia.
Better to have chlamydia, right?
Yes.
Both curable, but...
what would you rather your daughter get first?
Chlamydia is a little more calm, a little more civilized.
Start with chlamydia, warm into it, and then go for the syphilis.
Yeah, that is something you have to get through sexual contact.
Right.
Now, the question is, though, were you accurately diagnosed, I wonder?
Well, that's what I don't know. I mean, I took the medicine they gave me.
Yeah, but how were you tested for the chlamydia?
With my pap smear.
Huh. But is your question, has your boyfriend been cheating? Because you say you've been with him for 4 years.
And is he the only one you've been with?
Yeah.
Mm. Is that a bad sign?
Suspicious.
It is suspicious.
Mm. You wonder whether she was properly diagnosed, whether she had some other kind of tubal infection.
Could she have sat on it for a few years?
She could have. She could have had it for a long time and not known it. And they could
Could it have been found? Because I've had pap smears for the last 4 years and nothing's ever shown up.
Yeah, but that's a pap smear. They don't test necessarily for chlamydia.
I thought they did on everyone.
No.
Well, what do you think the percentage? I know it's hard to tell, but your just gut instinct. Boyfriend stepping out? Did this thing just come from nowhere?
My instinct is that the diagnosis was wrong.
That she doesn't have
She probably has
chlamydia.
Some other tubal infection other than chlamydia. That'd be my bet. But and that you can get without sexual transmission, per se.
You can.
I'm assuming your boyfriend is not only cheating, but with your mother.
There you go.
Ooh.
Just different
yeah,
opinion.
That's my instinct. I'm almost never wrong. Hey, Lori?
Yes?
Do you think your boyfriend's cheating?
Well, I didn't think so until I got the test results.
Have you asked him about it?
No.
Uh-oh, baby. Don't cry. I was just kidding about the mom part. Probably just one of your friends. Is he kind of guy who would cheat? Was he cheating when you met him?
No. He said I was on the second partner.
He said he was on a second partner.
All right, so it could have been the first one.
But here's the whole thing, too, everyone. Here's how you know if your boyfriend was cheating, really. How did you meet him? What was he doing? Because if he was in a relationship and you worked with him and you guys started getting together and you did this for a few months and then he broke it off, whatever, there's a pretty good chance he's cheating. You know what I mean? He's going to do it again. That's his M.O.
Serial cheating.
Yeah, if you met him and he was just free and clear, he'd been single for a few months or whatever, that's it. How did you meet him, Lori?
At work.
Mm-hmm.
And he was single.
And he was single. Okay.
Yeah.
And what's he do? This is another good way to figure it out.
He's in school
Aha. Doing what? Junior college?
No, he's going to university.
What's he studying?
History.
All right, he's not cheating. Impossible. Impossible. All right, why are you crying?
Because we were supposed to get married in October.
This all just sounds so bogus to me.
Oh,
sorry.
It's getting bogus now?
Yeah.
All right, sorry. But we're going to call this bogus, Lori. There's no reason why you can't still marry him.
Yeah.
This doesn't mean he's cheating. And
we're telling you all these positive things.
And
you keep up in the ante here with the negative.
All right. So Drew doesn't believe you. You want to come clean?
That's what's happened.
All right. So are you really that? By the way, if you're truly this fragile and naive and have the mentality of a 12-year-old, you shouldn't be getting married.
Right. Absolutely. We're telling you that he probably didn't cheat, probably don't have chlamydia. We're telling you all these positive things.
Well, I wasn't.
Okay. Yeah,
all right. What's the matter? Are you that fragile emotionally? Are you depressed, or what's going on?
A little bit of all of it.
All right. Well, what are you doing beside crying? You working?
Yeah.
Where do you work?
I work at two places. I'm a massage therapist.
Ooh. Yeah. Uh-oh. What's a good tip? And legitimate massage?
Yes.
You know, stuff.
Happy ending stuff. What kind of massage? Regular massage?
Deep tissue, yes.
Deep tissue. All right. And, you know, what is
why
it?
Why does she sound 12 to me?
Quiet down. I'll get to it. Is it $100 for like 50 minutes?
Yeah, about that.
And what kind of tip do you want? $30? $20?
20 is average, but 30 is always nice.
Yeah. She has to work for her tips, you know.
Yeah, okay. Here's what I'm saying. 50 minutes for someone who's got about 10 minutes worth of training. They're getting $100 an hour. And by the way, it's not an hour. It's 50 minutes. Mm. Well, you're not an attorney. Drew's a doctor. Do you make that kind of money?
No.
And does the old Jew walks out of the place tip you out on the way out? Or they just start complaining and grab a handful of samples?
There you go.
Thank you. Now, that's all I'm saying. Do you need to be tipped out? And here's what everyone says. This is like, well, they don't get any of the money. They don't get any of the money. That all goes, okay, well, they should talk to the guy who's getting all the money and say, look, let's see. I got a GED and I got 4 months training over at the Handjob Institute of Arcadia. I'm going to need $25 an hour. How about it? And you'll get $75 an hour for staying at home. How about it?
There you go.
Huh?
Yeah.
Let me tell you. You got $75 an hour. You refill the eucalyptus bowl, and I'll work my ass off here, and I'll get $25 an hour, which is more than a journeyman carpenter gets, and everything will be good. No, instead, it's, I got to tip you. I got to pay $100. Not me, my wife. She got to pay $100 for 50 minutes. Oh, and here's another 30 if the guy whizzes in the sink's money. Here you go. There you go. Because you got to eat, right? I wish we just should set up every business that way. Where I'd like to just set up a business where I announce I don't pay the employees. So whether it's clothing or food or whatever it is, you need to pay them.
Yeah,
the radio station should do that. They kind of almost do with guys like Chris. Oh. But I just mean it's like, hey, guys, we do a radio show. We don't get paid. So if you could kind of help us out just a little bit. Here, could you help us out? Because we understand we don't get, this is where we get our money. I like
you tipping us out.
I like that announcement, too, where you have a business and you go, hey, they get their money from tips.
Wait, so I shouldn't have slipped Drew the 20?
No, you should. No, make sure you tip Adam.
You should. I'm just. Right, cool. It'd be nice if I, got a little love too.
Well, I thought he was going to split it.
No.
No.
He doesn't.
No.
Do that.
He doesn't make my living.
He gives. Well, Mark.
He gives $2 to Chris, the engineer, and then $1 to the busboy, Manuel. He's going to be around a second to warm up the coffee. All right, let's take a break, Drew.
Yeah.
Really? So, $100 plus $30.
Sexual abuse history.
Really? Are you sure, Lori?
Yes.
Ever sexually abused?
No.
A little bit?
No.
Nothing?
No.
When did you lose your virginity?
18.
How old are you now?
21.
When were you born?
83.
All right. That's a lot of math for a chick. Okay. You can't
what
argue
month
with
83?
That. What month?
What month in 83?
July.
She hesitated.
Ooh. That was a beat. Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Now where you could be 20 should be 22 then, right? Depending on where we are. July what?
First.
Now aren't we 22 then? Didn't we turn 22 a few weeks ago?
I forgot it was August.
I told you. All right. I don't know. Okay. Is it bogus, yes, or is she just depressed and stupid?
It's bogus.
All right, she forgot. Drew, you forget. Here's... Okay. Drew, where are you going, by the way? Where are you going?
Am I going anywhere?
No, I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to leave when I'm doing a radio program here. I'm
leaving.
All right. All right. Taking Back Sunday in the studio tonight.
Yes.
Good guys. Good guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're not so bad yourself.
Thank you. They like Windy City Heat. They're marginal fans of Crank Yankers, but that's all right.
They've not mentioned that yet.
I mentioned it. They give a half-knowing nod. All right. And they did Kimmel tonight, so what more do you want? Now they're on this show. Please. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. Adam, Dad, Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Taking Back Sunday in studio tonight. Woo! Adam and Mark, both here, representing the band, Where You Want to Be, name of the new CD, out today. All right, on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight, so you can watch them right after you're done listening to the show. And watch Crank Yankers, that is, too. All right, number one requested song on K-Rock.
It's amazing.
Oh, it is.
It's a big deal.
And let me say this, K-Rock is the S, you know what I mean?
Mm.
It's like...
By the S, you mean?
The S.
I mean the S.
The
I,
S?
It's the S.
I mean...
I don't think I know what that means.
Here's what I'm saying. There's the NFL, and then there's Euro League, and there's Canadian football, and there's arena football. If you're going to be an all-star, what league do you want to be in?
The one that's
NFL.
The S.
NFL is the S. That's the top. That's what K-Rock is. So when you're number one requested at K-Rock, you're the number one S. And your S doesn't smell. I'm allowed to say smell. All right. You ready to rock, Drew?
Yeah, I'm rocking.
Let's help the kids.
Let's go now.
Let's break it down. Hey, let's get a hand. Let's go. Hey, take a knee. And let me just say this, gentlemen. That helmet is not a chair. Let's go. Grab a knee now. I just remember in Pop Warner, they didn't like you sitting on your helmets, and they had to tell you it wasn't a chair.
Kate.
Who do you like less, by the way? The guy who says, like, whatever you're doing. Like, hey, that's not a chair. Whatever. That's not a chair guy. Or the excuse you guy. You ever get that one?
The excuse you is worse.
I walked up to a six-pack of soda that was in the sand. The guy put it there to cool it or something when I was at the beach when I was like 9. I was walking down the beach. Hey, six-pack of soda washed ashore. I started walking to it and I heard, excuse you! And I thought, wow. I want to kill this guy. I'm 9. 9. Mental note, grow up and kill this guy. Sir, I'm going to need your name and address so I can kill you when I'm a little older. I need to put a notch in your tooth so I can find you later on. Yeah, where are you going to be? You think of being in the greater LA area? All right, going to need to contact you in about 10 years when I'm strong enough to kill you. Kate?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's happening?
When, like, I have sex, like, more than, like, if I have it, like, sometimes it's twice and sometimes it's, like, more than twice, like, my, like, vagina starts to hurt, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For many, many women, more than about 10 minutes is very uncomfortable.
Oh, really? Right? Good. So I'm well into my refractory period.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that makes me feel a lot better. Yeah.
You're into your REM.
Yeah.
Refractory.
Well, I'm eating, but I'm asleep, too. I'm actually sleeping and eating.
You're into all your
by minute
REM,
10.
Remote. Here's, you said refractory remote REM. I think you're useful.
Here's what I'm doing by minute 10. I'm watching TiVo, I'm eating, and I'm fast asleep. And I'm whizzing in the sink.
As you're farting.
As I'm farting at minute 10 and laughing. That's what I'm doing. And watch Taking Back Sunday on Kimmel.
But okay, so that would be, you know, you need to sort of assert yourself and say, this is uncomfortable, this is not pleasurable
right.
for me.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
But I was just wondering if maybe it was like the condom or...
Well, lubricant and condom, you know, all that add to it. But the fact is for...
Why does the lubricant add to it?
No, I beg your pardon. The condom can make you more prone to this. If the lubricant wears out, you could need to add lubricant, this sort of thing. But the fact is many, I don't know if I can say most, but many women... 10 minutes is about their limit.
Do you use any lubrication?
Just like lubricated condoms, so it's not like we add.
Have you ever had an orgasm? I don't mean with intercourse.
I don't really know, so probably not.
Not yet.
All right. Well, maybe start supplementing your sex with a little lube. Yeah.
No.
No.
Oral.
Oh, oral.
That's
Does he give you oral sex?
Well, we haven't been together that long, and, like, I'm... Really? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, we haven't really...
Oh, no, you should be doing that before you're doing the actual deed.
Well, no. this is my last boyfriend, too.
What's that?
I said this is, like, with my last boyfriend, too. What was your last boyfriend? Huh?
Yeah, but you got to understand, you're configured biologically in such a way that you're not going to have an orgasm without oral sex. That's probably going to be you.
All right.
So you might as well get involved in that kind of, if you're going to be sexually active, might as well find the things that work for you. And too much intercourse, obviously, even a moderate amount is not going to be good for you.
She's 16. Maybe we should stop trying to talk her
out of it. I'm trying to talk her out of it.
No, you're not. You're trying to talk her into it, Drew.
She's already having sex.
You gave her a mandate for oral. Hey, Kate?
Yeah?
I'm sorry about Drew. He gets off on that kind of thing. That's his bag. You know what I'm saying? He's not European that way.
No.
If you don't want to have oral sex, sweetie, if you're not ready for it, I say get your grades up and start respecting your elders.
If you have a condom failure of some type, keep that morning after pill handy, okay?
Right, okay.
I wanted to say something to Take You Back Sunday. What up?
It's like I got your CD like 2 days before it was supposed to come out. And I've been listening to it like nonstop, and it's so awesome.
Thank you.
And
Did you pay for it?
No.
Thanks a lot. Thank you for stealing
our music. How'd you get it?
Fair enough.
I know somebody down at this radio station, and they're like, I was like, wow, I really like this band and stuff. And he was like, oh, I've been listening to the CD and you can have it. Cause, oh boy.
The oral sex part's going to start coming into the story, too. I know, Kate, guys.
Is that how he got you into bed?
Do what?
Different guy.
Sorry,
this
guy.
This is DJ guy.
Hey, thank you, though. Thank you.
Yeah. No, wait, I'm not done. But I turned off your CD so that I could listen to The Edge, and then you were on there.
She wasn't done. She had to work the F word.
Then she was.
And let me just say this, Drew. By the way, you and your horrible radio. Somebody gave me like a best of CD for the show. Somebody at home just made some CD for the show, and I don't know why they did it, but they gave it to me, and I was listening to it in my car. I don't know why. They made it at home, and then they gave it to me.
Like a listener?
Yeah, like a listener. Oh, that's nice. Right.
At your home?
No. I know the home part's called. I really should have never said home, but the point is, they made it on their own.
Yeah.
It's not from the radio station, and they just sent it in. I was driving around listening to it, and I was listening to a call where we had to keep dumping the person, and I remember saying to you, Drew, I kept trying to like set up saying, okay, now people at home, you can't hear what just happened. And you were talking through the whole thing. And then I started getting angry at you while I was driving. Drew, if we dump, we're dumping. People ain't going to hear the little snippet that got dumped.
Right.
So, and we should probably, you know, have had this conversation off the air.
No,
but
we don't talk off the air.
We do, just not about stuff we should talk about off the air. Talk about stuff, ironically, we should be talking about on the air, off the air. But the point is they don't hear the dump stuff, so we gotta let them know what's going on.
No,
you know,
but Paul, I just cut the part that she says.
Yeah, if Anderson is the engineer, he just takes it down to the one word.
This is the call where we were on hold. We clicked over to the person, and they were having a conversation, and they kept dropping the F-bomb. Yes. And they didn't know they were on the air.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, it got confusing at some point. That's all.
Yeah, if they do like two or three within 5 seconds, I got to dump 10 seconds.
Right. Maybe.
Hey, but the next time a cuss word gets through, whoever's on the board gets fired. So could you give me a little heads up, maybe?
Well, what happened is Jeremy Piven was on the show a few weeks back, and he yelled F face into the microphone about as loud as he could, and it got through in Tennessee.
Basically, it was the guy here took it out, and whoever was asleep at the wheel
in Tennessee,
Westwood One.
Engineer Ken. His new name is F-Face, actually.
Right. Engineer F-Face let it slide through, and we got thrown off the air in Tennessee.
Seriously, is that what happened?
Oh, that's what I heard.
Oh,
isn't
no
that
kidding.
What you heard?
No, I didn't hear anything about it.
You were just talking about how much you love Tennessee, too.
I know.
That's
a
bummer.
That is a bummer.
Yeah, they threw us off the air.
Say it was a little heads up when they cuss next time, guys. We'll work as a team. It'll be great.
Yeah. Nobody
told me about it.
We were at that axe party, and they were telling us we're off the air.
Nobody told me that.
I didn't hold conversation. No, you were high again.
I was running with
streams off when a person curses.
Who's the guy who does what?
Because when I heard the guy curse, and then all of a sudden I heard
that was
go.
David Alan Greer on tape.
Oh, that was probably Daggs. I know him, or my main man. You know, but I call all black guys my main man. It makes them, you know, makes them feel like we're one.
Victoria? That's my main mayonnaise.
That's right. That's Snoop.
Johnny on the spot.
Victoria?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, me and my friends, we went to the Erotic Museum because we thought it would be a good idea.
Yeah. You're 16. Do you, they let you in there at 16?
I look older. I look like I'm like 19.
Right.
I've always looked older.
And what is this? I've never heard of this place. What is it?
It's an
Erotic Museum.
They have sexy parties.
I don't know what it is. It's like, you know, old, you know, back, you know, black and white porns with huge bushes, I guess.
It's like guys
with like wax in their pubes and mustaches and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
It was kind of dirty, but like they had like all of these like porn, they had like 3 porn videos. And then they had a lot of like paintings on the walls and stuff like that. Of some of it was like tasteful, and then some of it was just kind of weird.
All right.
But like, and they had this like 70s like porno video.
All right, let's save it for your online column, sweetie. What's going on? You got a problem?
Yeah, like in the porno video.
Yeah.
It scarred me. It freaked me out.
Well, listen, you're heading for the porn museum.
Yeah, I know.
What do you think I see? Like a bust of Lincoln? Like, what do you think you're going to see in there?
If it's a sexy bust, maybe.
No, I have a brother.
I'm riding.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, I've been, like, him and his friends and stuff, like, I've seen some stuff, but it's like, when I saw, like, the 70s porno video, like, this guy had, like, the biggest penis, like, I've ever seen in, like, my entire life.
Yeah. Well, look, first off, you're 16, so far,
like,
you've only seen a handful of penises.
If that.
It was, like, huge. It was, like, a foot and a half long.
She freaked out.
I really don't. Is this bogus again?
No. She's freaked out by 17 something.
She saw John Holmes.
Yeah, probably.
Matt's just in the other room. We should bring him in.
Matt big?
Yeah, huge.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, little skinny guy.
Yeah, I mean, not that I've seen it. But.
We should let him get a little.
Yeah.
You know, have a little Matt time before he comes in.
Yeah,
I mean,
close.
You don't just drop the pants.
I mean,
a good athlete stretches out. I mean, piano player cracks his knuckles before he sits down at the Steinway. Yes. You got to give a guy a chance.
But there you go.
Yeah.
Let's fish it out, Victoria.
Right.
So it bothers you still, huh?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It
looked like
disturbed.
It was like really hurting this girl. Does it really hurt that bad? Like,
yes, too big is too big. Yes, too big would be a painful experience.
Yeah, but she was really high on coke, sweetie, so it was okay.
Okay.
All right.
That's
easy with that knowledge.
And can I just ask something like, do you think it's like, too late for my boobs to grow any bigger?
Yes.
No.
Really?
The window's closed all the way to your
20.
Yeah.
Well, some people into the early 20s.
That's
but
right.
But definitely up until you're 20.
That's right. May your boobs grow as large as John Holmes' penis.
They'll be good.
So you think they might grow a little bit bigger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like,
right.
if I wanted to get them like shaped and anything, like
shaped?
They would. Like shapes, because mm-hmm. I don't like my
You have to be
like,
from LA.
That's
yeah, don't do that.
All right, hold on, Victoria.
Shape is implants.
I'm now morbidly intrigued by by Victoria, and already I could imagine her is looking at junior college scholarship offers already as a young prodigy. Like, listen, baby, junior college.
We're looking for.
They must go out and find stupid people and get them young. Hey, you're 14. Where are you thinking? Have you been to? You're in Northridge area. I mean, go out to. LA Valley College. We got Pierce. We got a great farming program out here. There's plenty of hacky sack to be played. Let's give you a tour of the campus. Come on. Yeah, paying the parents off. All right. Here, taking back Sunny in tonight. We'll come back. I want to talk a little more to Victoria about what's wrong with her.
All right.
All right. After this. Hey, everybody, it's the Love Line. Whoa, oh. Nice one. Take it back Sunday. In the studio tonight.
Yeah. Really?
I don't know. Let me see.
Always try to remember what to do if the atom bomb explodes right then. It's a bomb. Duck and cover.
Yeah. I've done better work, I got to say.
It's when you get diabolical in that laugh. I know I got to say.
No, in the laugh. Yeah. Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah. Adam Bad Mark times. Here tonight from Taking Back Sunday. Where You Want to Be, name of the CD. Here's something off that in the 11 o'clock hour on Kimmel tonight. When we left off, we're speaking to Victoria from Northridge. Oh, the valley where I grew up. Shocking. Shocking that such an intellect would be from the San Fernando Valley.
Shaping her breasts.
Yeah, at the age of 16.
She went to the Porn Museum, which I find interesting, too. And let me just... And she's talking about a guy with a big, scary penis from the 70s.
Freaked her out.
I'm guessing she's talking about John Holmes. Yeah. I got a John Holmes video.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it cool?
It's cool.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, it's a bunch of just 70s, great 70s porn. It's awesome stuff, you know, really. A little whack down memory lane. But the very beginning...
No pun intended.
Here's what I love...
Oh, Victoria's dropped out.
Screw her. Here's what I love about the porn industry. Here's how the beginning of this movie starts. It's called Boogie Down with John Holmes. A, number one. The beginning sequence is a guy, fat guy, it's like a bad belt, squeezing some pants, and he's clearly on some set in Van Nuys, except for there's a little astroturf spread out and a styrofoam headstone that says John Holmes on it. And he starts out by talking to him because John Holmes has been dead for 12 years, you know, and he's like, Johnny the Wad Holmes, a legend in the industry. We're going to miss you, Johnny. But you know, his legend lives on in this compilation. I'm thinking, hey, pal, I'm beating off. The guy's dead. Come on. Use your brains over here for a second.
Oh,
I'm trying to beat off. You're talking to a headstone? Well, what's going on here? What, you got a picture of my grandma in the nude, too, that you can flash here? Like, what are you doing? What? You got to talk to a styrofoam headstone? Really? Let's just start the goddamn movie. I need some fat guy in a bad belt talking to a styrofoam headstone while I'm trying to beat off.
Well, wait, did he have a shirt off, though? Because maybe his, you know...
Did the guy have his shirt off?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because, I mean, some guys are into that.
No.
Mark.
No, I wasn't. No, no guy who's in... No, how dare you? How dare you accuse me of being into a guy with a shirt off?
He could have been an attractive guy.
He was an unattractive fat man who spoke in a very uneloquent way, if that's even a word, to a styrofoam headstone that was, like, falling over.
Dude, I like
some astroturf.
I like it when the guys have the hair coming out of the shirt.
Yeah,
and
little
they got
curls.
Yeah.
Did he have chains on? Gold chains?
No. This was new. That's the whole point. John Holmes had been in the ground for 12 years.
He was.
He put the compilation.
Oh.
He put the compilation video. I mean,
I
John Holmes died in like 1991 or something.
You know,
or maybe it was 93.
HIV,
oh, AIDS. Yeah.
Oh, AIDS.
Yeah. Again,
really?
Again, slowing down the whole process of of self-pleasure, I should call it. Here's the point.
Masturbator.
That wouldn't be a bad kid's toy. Masturbator.
Oh, man.
You stick a little penis for the nose.
Twice
a
daily.
Box of Kleenex, stick to the head.
Masturbator head.
Yeah, it's good times. I'm going to use some lube for the ears, Daddy. Nice, son.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Drew, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Holmes goes into the ground in 93. They do the compilation thing in 95, and I got a guy talking to a styrofoam headstone when
he's
I'm trying
jerk.
To beat off in 2004.
Mrs. Potato Head, too.
That's all I'm saying. Chris, get on the internet and find out when Holmes went down. Was that after the Wonderland murders? Must have been 90 or something like that. All right, Drew, now what? Now we can't take
any
calls.
Break, dude.
We've been talking so much. Taking Back Sunday in studio tonight. Wait a minute. I think I got to go.
Hey,
fart.
Adam.
Hold on. I got to fart.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Never not funny.
Never. All right. Hold on a second. We got to take a little break. Nah, not much. And
I'm kind of disappointed in you.
A little perfume quality, too, in fact. What is that? Powder. Powder fresh.
What exactly did you eat before you came in?
I ate some night blooming jasmine before I came out like a goat. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Taking Back Sunday in studio tonight. Mark gone. Matt in, Adam staying.
Yes.
And Adam not being me, but lead singer from Taking Back Sunday, which you can see on Kimmel tonight. We'll hear something else off of Where You Want to Be. And John Holmes died in 1988. Yes, sir?
Yes, Adam.
All right. That's all good. So we're all caught up.
Mm-hmm. On our John Holmes history.
Yes.
All I'm saying is you're talking to a headstone before the porn. It's poor form.
Did he cut in and out during critical moments?
Thank Christ, he didn't. He's like, John, we're going to miss you, buddy.
John, that was a good one. Remember the time when it fades back out?
It was great, too. I had the pleasure of working with the great John Holmes on one occasion. He was a total professional. I love when people, I love that. Yeah. Like, drug coked up porn star came in there.
Who's crying out for more plot in porn?
Women
aren't even crying out for porn in the first place.
No, I know, but they're going to try to capture a female audience at all.
Right.
Stories be stories.
I really think there's a percentage of life that is unnecessary, that's just protocol. There's people go through
there's
the
protocol,
motions.
But there's also a sort of standing on principle. It's like, we are making
this
film.
This is what we do.
Film.
Yeah, but we always have a laugh about the turn down service at the hotel. And, it's always, sure enough, they caught me. I always complain, if you stay at a decent hotel, they got that turndown service. There's a knock on the door between 7 and 8 o'clock, whenever you're beating off, or taking a shower, doing whatever you're taking a dump. Somehow, I think they have something that's hooked up to the toilet seat that's at pressure. Whenever there's more than 110 pounds on it, alarm goes off and the maid's thing, and they start rushing up flights of stairs, and they start banging on the door. Sure enough, I was out in New York last week doing this Axe-Bar thing. I'm just getting out of the shower at about 6:45, 7 o'clock. It just
bang, bang,
had
bang.
The towel on, bang, bang, bang on the door. Sir, turn down service. Like, well, what do you need to do? Well, they come in and they yank the corner of the bed off for you, and they put a mint on. And I'm always like, no, I'm fine.
You gotta learn, the first thing you do to get a hotel room is take that do not disturb sign and stick it out there.
Okay.
The first thing.
Let me tell you about protocol.
That and the comforter. Always take the comforter off. Yeah.
Some of these
always
have that
did the button. I'm staying at the Four Seasons. They got the button, the Do Not Disturb button.
Yeah,
push it from inside.
There's a button now?
Yeah, some hotels.
Nice
New York.
Hotel.
New York.
Press that button. It's very nice. Press the button. Got a little card underneath the door that said,
if you like
sir,
it.
Was not able to do the turndown service because the button was illuminated. If it was a mistake, we'll come back. It's like, leave me alone with the turndown service. Look, here's what I want. I want a nice pot of coffee waiting in the lobby at all hours of the day, and enough with the turndown service. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Here's what I could do a little more of. Here's what I could do a little less of. I'm just saying there's that protocol. It's the plot in porn. It'd be the name. It'd be a good name of a book. It says why we go. You know, the parsley next to the plate that you never eat. What are we going through this ritual for?
Apropos to the plot in porn. But listen, did you notice in Times Square there was a gigantic billboard with Jenna Jameson on it, about a film about her life or something? I was trying to figure out what the hell the but it was basically a porno, though. But it was sort of...
No, but what an interesting film that would be.
Yes,
I mean, I'm sure her life...
You didn't see that?
I'm already interested.
It was huge
noteworthy.
Billboard in Times Square. I mean, huge.
I didn't go through Times Square. Oh, I went around it.
Yeah.
I
mean, amen.
Yeah. You got a lot, really? Big
but, and sort of like, you know, world's most famous adult film.
Well, is it an adult film?
You can't really tell, but my took away from it was...
Jackable or not jackable?
It's going to be with a story.
Okay, all right, that's it. That's enough. That's all I need. There's two categories. Everything falls into it.
Remember we had her up here? How long ago was that?
Yeah. Jackable, yes, sir?
No.
Did she sit in this chair?
It was a different studio.
But, damn it.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I broke her many years ago.
How's that?
Wait, you had her cry?
I know.
Or you literally broke her.
First off, I think I was on the set of a movie she was on.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wait, that kind of actor?
Yeah. No, it's a long story, but I started on K-Rock here almost 10 years ago, or right about exactly 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Jenna Jameson has been in the porn business for about 10 years and 2 months. She was brand new, and I had her as a guest on this show.
On this show.
And I actually... No, on Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean.
And a morning show here at the Flag
because
Station.
Because you spotted her in your
I don't know how it worked.
Work.
But here's what I did. I swear to God, I put a feather duster attachment on a cordless drill and worked her over with it. And I also put a piece of I'm trying to think of the material on a pad sander, vibrating sander, piece of velvet on a pad sander, and worked her over with it.
What do you mean?
What do I mean?
Wait, yeah.
Put a piece of velvet on a pad, you know, on a pad
on
sander,
the radio?
Vibrating sander. Yeah, on the radio.
While she was clothed?
She may have been topless. You know.
May have been. I don't think that's something you forget.
No, this is back in the mid-90s, Drew. It was a different time. this is pre-AIDS.
Then she was on this show, remember?
She was on this show. But what I'm saying is I worked Jenna Jameson over with a pad sander when she was knee-high to a boll weevil. I'm saying she was in, like, the ninth grade. I mean, I'm saying she was brand new.
Yeah.
And you know the weird thing? The whole thing that I found...
dirty.
Well, I didn't go downstairs with the pad sander. I stayed upstairs. You know, this is vibrate. They feel...
Right.
They feel pretty good. Pad sander.
Yeah, but
vibrating
what was it
sander,
doing for her?
Jitterbug sander. Well, she's a porn star. What's anything good for her?
No, but porn stars are people, too, you know.
The feather duster thing was a little more vigorous. That didn't work out quite so well. That was sort of like turning the blender on, not putting the cap on it, you know. That was a disaster. I got to admit, that was a mistake. Here's the weird thing about the whole thing.
Oh, cheers. Now we're getting the weird part. Now weird. Okay, go ahead.
The weird part is I went to a fabric store the day before to buy myself a piece
of velvet,
red velvet to put onto my
on your
my Makita pad sander, and there was a woman, she must have been 40, just working behind the counter, and I just went in, I was like, yeah, I'll just buy this little piece of velvet, and she's like, uh-huh. Now I was not on the radio. People didn't know me, they didn't recognize me or anything. So she's like, "Yeah, buddy," and I was like, "Yeah, I just need a little hey." It was weird. It's like, how do you know I'm going to put it on a pad stand or work over porn stuff? Obviously, her thing is like, here's some dude who's buying a piece of a piece of velvet the size of a CD cover.
Yeah.
He's up to no good.
Yeah, good bet.
Yeah, he's not doing a liner for his mom's curtains or something. He's doing, these are going on handcuffs. He's doing something weird. It's going up someone's ass.
You know what, though?
Something's going south.
My brother used to work at a place called Fabric Bonanza. This is not a joke at all. And he said that there were some really creepy people that used to come in there. Like, you know, you'd have your, like, crafts, arts and crafts people. But he said, other than that...
Did he see a guy with, like, nappy hair?
I'm going to call him and find out if he remembers you.
Fabric. Now, this place
Fabric
was like
Bonanza.
This place was like Button World or something. But Fabric Bonanza. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's on Long Island.
You know what you're going to get, too, at a place like that? You're going to get a fair amount of, like... Satan worshippers making new druid hoods and stuff. You get a lot of weirdos in there. They must get a lot. Yeah, you're picturing just a bunch of your mom's friends in there buying frilly paisley. No, it's got to be it's got to be weirdos. Duvetine, blacking out the curtains, making snuff films in the basement. A lot of weirdos in the fabric store.
Anyway, so you brought her into the world.
You brought her into the world.
Yeah,
I broke her. I broke her.
You birthed her.
I birthed her. Yeah, that's what I did. All right.
And so you still communicate and you're still...
We're tight.
You're tight.
We're very close. So no, she knows. She's a fan. Not of that feather duster. That thing didn't work out too good. I got to be honest with you.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I heard she's still mad about that.
10 years ago. Well, she still got a swirl mark on her
boob. It's a major... It's a very important scene in this movie. It's a life story. It's a critical moment.
All right. Patty...
Hi, sorry.
Patty, you're 22. Hey, Engineer Chris, get on the internet again and find out when Jenna Jameson's first movie release was. That'll be about 10 years and 4 months. What's up there, Patty? Big fan of the band?
And you were there when that one was filmed?
Yeah.
No, I was there on another thing, but okay. Oh, yeah, I went to the set.
What?
Okay. Well, here's the
coincidence.
Deal. I was invited as a guest, as a representative of the show.
As a consumer?
Of the morning show, Kevin and Bean show.
Okay, yeah.
I went to the set. They're filming they're filming in North Hollywood, where I grew up. They're filming Two Doors Down from the,
your mom's
from the clubhouse. Oh. No, they're about 11 doors down from my mom's place, but they're about 2 doors down from the clubhouse that used to have all the equipment and everything for my Pop Warner football team,
what?
The East Valley Trojans, I found ironic. And it was about 170 degrees, and it was the middle of summer. And actually, I was there for about 10 hours, and her scene was probably about hour 11. I got tired and left, so I never actually. I don't think I actually saw her scene. All right, where were we?
Put in a good 10 hours there.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to explode. 1994. All right.
Ten years,
right?
Good
right
call.
Yeah, and that's when I was on Kevin and Bean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hi.
Mm-hmm. Patty.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Patty, what's happening?
What's up?
Big fan of Taking Back Sunday?
I'm sorry?
Big fan of the band?
Yeah, I'm a fan, not a big fan, though.
All right. Nice. There we go.
Thank you.
Next call.
I think.
Put you on hold for another. Here's the thing. It says band. Big fan. What's the inspiration for the new CD? It says big fan, right?
Said there on the
right. There.
Said
it. But she, and actually, you don't hear about the medium to small fans.
But by the way, what's the strategy?
I think we should pay more attention to it.
Big fan of the band. Not really. Now you bring it up. Now you bring it up.
Big.
No,
it's called big.
Actually, I called it.
Lukewarm fan. Yeah. So anyway.
No, she called to talk about wieners and
boobs. Ella, what's going on?
She was a fan. Yeah. Ella?
Hey. How are you?
Where Ella's been waiting 84 minutes.
All right, baby. No, sorry.
Anyway, I asked.
Hold on. Ella, big fan of the show?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Good answer.
Yeah.
That's a lot of ring.
Caught off guard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now that you mention it. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. What's your definition of big? Go ahead, Ella.
Well, I wanted to call because Adam, you know, when I hear it, he's always saying listen to classical music and exercise. So
yes.
I get, like, I don't know, summers are not good for me. So I was having a slump and I'm normally healthy and I was getting unhealthy and I was like, you know, I can't afford a psychologist, so I should do something for myself. I shouldn't just whine. So I did the whole classical music and exercise. And
let me just make that clear for a second. We talked to a lot of people that are nuts and they're depressed. Mainly depressed. And they can't find any therapy. They don't have the means for it or whatever. I tell people, get some classical music, get some headphones, and start going on some long walks. And
so
it'll clean you out a little bit.
Ella took Adam's advice. So after your first suicide attempt, yeah?
Oh, okay. God, no.
No, okay.
So you listen to some classical music, and you started exercising.
Yeah.
And what did it do for you?
And I also wanted to ask a little question about the show.
Did it work? Did it make you saner? Did it calm you down?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm not, like, whacked, but it makes things clearer.
In some studies, exercise perform, so to speak, well.
Exercise
as compared
is the equivalent of taking Prozac.
It has, in certain studies, it has shown to be very closely equivalent.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried working out to Slayer?
Excuse me? Like a knife?
No, Slayer.
Slayer, the band.
Oh, I'm sorry, no.
All right, you got to try
good.
That.
Stay away from that.
What was your other question?
I was wondering how the show makes a lot of money since they always have the commercials are just, what do you call it, PSAs.
We tip Adam and Drew. Yeah. We totally already covered this.
Yeah, we're broke.
An hour ago.
Paying these guys.
That's how we get paid. Where are you listening? In Maryland?
Baltimore?
Yeah, actually, we have commercials, but when I hear you on hold, I hear the commercial.
Oh, well, that's how it makes. Well, those are just fillers and what you hear in Baltimore.
First off, you have commercials, right?
they
have commercials in Baltimore?
Is this really your question?
Right.
No, I was just curious. Cause,
all right, here's how the show makes money. You know the commercials?
Yeah, give you money.
That's how. And what you listen to when you're on hold is the national feed.
Which is doesn't go
and
on the air.
The national feed doesn't have any doesn't have any.
It's like what you do for charity.
All right, Ella, could you shut up for a second, please?
Sorry.
I swear to Christ, I'm playing handball against the drapes with this Ella. Listen. What is that with people? It's like, right. And what the national. Shut up. Here's the thing. The national feed doesn't have commercials. You then put in all the local affiliates, put in their local commercials. They don't want to hear a Cerritos Dodge commercial in Maryland. Although Cerritos Dodge is a fine place, not worth the drive across country just to get there. Although they are, it is dealing days. I'll tell you that. And they're moving product for $1 over sticker. $1
really?
Over factory. $1. they make one. They sell custom van. They make $1.
And sometimes they'll let some of the PSAs bleed through just because it's so important. Things like airport security, laptop computer theft.
Right.
What your body is designed to withstand.
My favorite public service announcement. Anderson, please get that.
Give us a taste of that one.
Just give us the whole goddamn thing. Okay. These are the public service announcements we have to hear every night because we hear the national feed and they take on very important topics. Now,
I mean, God knows there are a million things that we could think of to make PSA just based on the topics.
Teen pregnancy.
Across. Yeah, they come across our palate here every night. There's 100 things.
Gang violence. Sexual abuse, alcoholism, all these things.
We're not going to address that.
But they tackle the really tough subjects, such as airplane turbulence.
Here we go.
All right.
Hold on.
Guys, it's buried deep in the show. I got
to
look
it's
for it.
It's buried deep, but you got to hear this one.
I don't even know where it is because I don't listen to it.
Oh, I heard it last
week.
What
does it tell you to look out for it? Like, what are you going
to
do?
It tells you to put your seatbelt on when you're in an airplane.
Because you wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And nobody tells you
to do that.
That
thing with the clip on it.
50 times.
Yeah. Right.
Seat belt. Yeah. I've never quite seen one, but I've heard about them.
Every time I'm on a plane, I still can't figure out how to actually get it to close.
Yeah, they really should tell you. And they show you.
Well,
I let it
out and tie it in a knot like a hillbilly.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I don't understand the class of it.
You know, how can you possibly figure that out?
I'll ask for the fat guy extender and then just tie myself off.
No, I ain't using no newfangled seat belt.
Yeah, I don't trust it. What if there's a fire on the plane and I can't get out? Yeah, I'll just tie a notch. Usually a sheep shank around my waist.
And God knows, you know, you've got to use those life preservers, the life vests. Yeah. I wear that the entire flight,
And the stewardess never does bring up the whole seatbelt thing. That's why it's important to have it in the form of a PSA, giving you a little heads up.
Because no one would ever tell you how to use it.
Not once you're on the plane. They don't discuss a seatbelt. Let's listen to it. And let's listen to what your body is made for. Go ahead, Anderson.
What a tough thing your body is.
All right.
It's built to withstand bending, pinching, tattooing, swimming.
Really? Hold on. But hold it for a second. Here's what I want to know. First off, more people die from hepatitis infections via the tattoo needle than airplane turbulence.
Yes.
First off, how many people die from in-flight airplane turbulence on a national level every year?
As compared to things that the body's meant to withstand, tattooing?
Right. Okay, so here's the thing. You think if someone is flying from Newark into Chicago, they hit some turbulence and a guy dies in the plane because he hits his head on the roof. Doesn't it make the news?
National news.
National news, right?
Maybe international news.
Close your eyes. We've seen corpses being dragged out of planes.
Every day. Aren't you?
Here's my estimation on how many people died of turbulence in an airplane on a commercial flight last year. Zero. A little less than zero.
How about the year before?
Or half.
Zero.
How about the year before that?
I'd say there's been two deaths in the last, 11 years from it.
It's not from turbulence.
And then that's not from turbulence either. That's just an old guy who had a heart attack when they hit a
little guy. Let's keep going. See what we're designed to withstand.
What else we designed to withstand?
Swimming.
No drowning. No drowning.
Yeah, no mention of that.
Shaving.
Loud noises. I turn it up a little, Anthony.
Childbirth.
No one ever dies in childbirth. Body's meant to withstand that. One out of five death historically, but we're meant to withstand that. Okay.
How many women do you think die during childbirth each year?
Zero. Zero.
It's got to
be. Or maybe 10,000.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
All right. All right. What else? What else do we got?
Football.
Never been a death. Your body's meant to withstand that. That's why there's never been a paraplegia, never been a knee injury, never been a broken bone.
Daryl Stingley still in the wheelchair. Joe Theismann compound fracture.
Meant to withstand football.
Here's the deal. More kids die at the high school level nationally playing football every year than they do from airplane turbulence.
More people die getting hit with a baseball in the chest.
Right.
Then getting stuck.
Right, so your body is meant for the tattoos, the swimming, the childbirth, and the football.
All right.
What else? What else? Where are we leading here?
Bad cooking.
No one's ever died of food poisoning.
Not in this country, no. Never happened.
Rollerblading.
Yeah. No one's sustained an injury.
No injuries there.
No injuries.
Marathons.
Right. I feel like people died during that.
No. Eventually, you could.
But what isn't your body made for? That's the question.
Even company meetings.
All right.
But there's something the human body isn't built to withstand.
What is
unexpected
that?
Turbulence.
Unexpected turbulence.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Is this real?
Stand that yeah. really well. Yeah, but all you have to do is wear your safety belt
hold,
the entire time.
Hold on. What was that
word?
Hold on. What did he say? What did he say? Safety melt. I think it's a sandwich. Kind of a...
So next time you fly, stay buckled up the whole time. Because after all, turbulence happens, and you're just not built for it.
Not made to be jostled in the seat. But you are meant to take a hit from a blitzing linebacker when you're blindsided as a quarterback. That's what you're meant.
Meant to withstand that. Yes.
Right.
Yes,
so when LT's coming around the corner on the blind side, his 240-pound black man, he launches himself at your head. That the body God designed the body for that. But being jostled in a padded seat?
No.
Okay, so there you go. They give 30 examples. And by the way, all examples of things emergency room sees on a nightly basis.
Right.
No emergency room has ever seen airplane turbulence. Oh, we got airplane turbulence. Clear it out.
Yeah.
Clear the OR out. We're rushing them in. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, there you go. This is where our tax dollars are going, everybody.
Wow. Amen.
And they're telling you to do something that they beat you over the head with when you get on the plane. Hey, the next time you're on an airplane, when you're taking off, let's see if you can undo that safety belt and get up and take a leap. See what happens. See if someone doesn't yell at you to sit down. See if you don't get tackled in the aisle. See if there's not a lit placard with it. Really? This is what we're spending our money on. This is what we got to do. And this is what we got to hear. And people, what are we doing? Drive around taking notes? By the way, the people of this show, I don't think have ever been on a... They call it a metal bird, by the way. The people listen to the show.
Oh, really?
They've never actually been on a plane.
They think it's an animal.
They think it's an animal.
Hey, man. Who listens to that thing and is like, I bet I know what's coming. It's turbulence.
Here's the thing. I would like to find the guy who put that together and kick the S out of him. Here's what I'd like to do.
tell us.
I'd like to sneak into the guy's apartment. I'd like to give him one of those pillowcase soap-type prison military beams. So here's how it works. He's right in the middle of REM. You guys jump up. You pull a rolled-up towel over his mouth and pull it tight so he can't talk. Meanwhile, Drew and I beat the crap out of him, and I'm yelling, is your body meant for this, pussy? Can your body handle this? Stop wasting our money. Then I kick him in the nuts, and I say, go out there and do some PSAs about some people give a good rat's ass about you, puss, and get busy. Stop throwing the money away. Airplane turbulence. And who, by the way, raises their hand? You know, and goes, hey, you know what we need a PSA? How about putting a seatbelt on? Oh, that's a great idea, Phil. Let's throw a few $100,000 at that. We got to lay that down right away. Yeah, let's get that in a heavy rotation on the alternative stations. And we got to play that. People need to hear about that.
Well, as kids, they need to be aware of that.
Yeah, especially this around. Age market. Yeah,
nobody's in prison. Teen pregnancy, gang violence, all gone, all done away with. Domestic abuse, molestation, abuse, it's all sexual abuse, all sure. finished with. Let's focus on the seatbelts.
We're getting on a plane in a couple hours, and I know previously we weren't probably going to wear our seatbelts.
No.
But now,
of course not.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't have even thought to. I don't even, yeah.
Well, now we're going to wear them.
No, you could find me normally before I heard this PSA. I would be in the aisle working on the, you know, that board that has just a little rolling cylinder in the middle of it. You stand on it. You just say, I think it's good for surfers and skaters. I'd just be honing my craft right there, take off and landing.
Sure,
now that I've heard this, it's a whole different situation. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, good. A little heads up there, everybody. We know
where do you keep your wallet?
I feel better.
McGruff telling you where to put your wallet. I like to tell where I like to put my foot up McGruff's ass. Thank you.
Wow, where do you
done
keep
with
your
these
wallet?
PSA. Up your ass, you mutt! Really, here's the thing. I can't drive 10 feet in the city without seeing some graffiti. There's no PSA on. There's nothing of that. Hey, kids, leave the spray can at home or something. Nothing. Nothing there. Airplane turbulence. Mm-hmm. All right. Fantastic. All right. We got take them back Sunday. In studio tonight, we're going to hear something off the CD. They're on Kimmel tonight. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's the good doctor, Dr. Drew. Taking back Sunday in studio tonight. Where you want to be, name of the CD. Going to hear something else off the new CD.
Now.
After, we want to take one call.
Okay.
Take one call. One call?
Yeah. Yeah. Look at poor Scarlett. It's been a whole 90 minutes.
Adam and Matt, both here from Taking Back Sunday. They share my outrage towards the retarded PSA.
Yes.
Pillowcase type beating. You guys with me?
Well, Adam is totally during, over some urine here. He just described to me that he's going to find his life goal is to find the guy that wrote this thing, put him in a room, and tell him for 2 weeks, don't put a garden hoe in your ear. Yeah. Just repeat that over and over.
He's going to sit in a chair. He's going to sit in a chair, and for 2 weeks, I'm just going to stand like a Clockwork Orange. I'm just going to stand there and go, don't put a garden hoe in your ear. And he's going to go, why would I? Don't do it! He's gonna, yeah, I'm not going to. Don't do it! And I'll go, give me $20. Okay, don't do it! This is 2 weeks. I'm just breaking him down. He's going to come out, just come out crying, just a wreck, just a shell of a man, muscles atrophy. And then I beat him with the garden hose. I just beat him. I just want to kill this guy. I want to find him and kill him. Oh, the radio. Oh, the idiots, the retards in this country. What we got to deal with, the money, the time, the resources. Think about everything that's wasted in this country. Yeah. Think about all the money that's going on. All we ever talk about is, oh, there's not enough for schools. There's not enough for infrastructure. I've been wanting a goddamn bullet train to Vegas for the last 22 years. We can't do it. We got no public transportation.
Law enforcement officers out there getting the parking
chicken ass tickets. Yeah. We got no, oh God, what we could do. Here's the thing. This country, the potential for this country, like we're running at about 20%. If we were running, 17.5%. If we were running at 45%, it would be a utopia.
Most of the inefficiency is related to the legal system. Laws.
90% of it is related to lawyers. And yes,
well, just laws.
Yes. I think that. Going back to the parking thing, I think it's much more important to have 10 officers on one street giving people tickets than it is arresting drug dealers or rapists or criminals.
Checking the harbors out for terrorists.
Why would you want to do that?
Well, we don't have the resources.
Can't do it.
We don't have, don't worry about it. We don't have the manpower. We got 100 guys in right-hand drive Chevettes. What about those pussies? Can't convert them into something?
The vice guys.
You want to hear something funny? My girlfriend got jumped on a train recently on this train line on Staten Island. There's one train on Staten Island. It goes from the ferry to the other side of the island and back to the ferry. One train. Mm-hmm. So they called the commerce, the town, whatever, to complain about it, and their answer was, what do you want, a cop on every train?
Yeah.
But it's one train.
Yeah.
And one cop, or maybe two, and one guy that just could walk back and forth, and we don't have the resources. We don't have cops for that.
We don't have the resources.
Which is funny, because in Brooklyn, where I live, my car has been towed at least four times.
Oh, they got resources.
At the very least.
They got energy for cars.
They got a lot of energy
and
for cars.
And tow truck drivers.
They have limited, unlimited resources
for
and energy
injury.
For getting money out of you.
Yeah.
But if you want them to do something, they got no resources. They got no time. Okay. Don't get me going.
Quick, Scarlett.
All right. We got to talk to Scarlett. Scarlett?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yes.
What's up?
I had just recently gotten my stepfather in jail because he had raped me.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you?
Speaking of rape, did you hear that PSA?
Yeah.
My ears were raped.
How old were you when this happened?
I was 14. I just turned 15 last month.
Good.
You did a good thing.
I mean, good that you put him behind bars.
Yeah, you did a good thing for yourself, for other people, and for him, frankly.
Oh, really?
Keep from doing, you know, right. Sometimes these guys
Well, that's arguable, but for us and for you, and that's the important people. He doesn't get a vote. All right. Was it tough at the trial and stuff?
I didn't have to go.
Oh, okay. Oh,
good. But, like, I don't know. I have one more session of therapy. Yeah. And
how many have you had?
Oh, God, I don't know. I've been going since November when it happened.
You should go for a few years.
Are you mad at your mom?
No.
I'd be mad at my mom.
For bringing the guy into your life.
Yeah.
But she had no idea.
Yeah, she still brought the wolf into the hen coop.
Yeah, listen, ladies, your spidey sense needs to tingle a little when you're bringing home the pedophile rapist.
Yeah. Or, by the way, your mom must have been a...
Your mom's dad may have been a victim.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
Not that I know of.
How's Grandpa doing?
Oh, well, she's like 15. She probably didn't talk to her about that.
Not a lot of...
Her dad, what was he like? Your mom's dad.
I'm not sure.
Is he around? Your grandfather?
Like, I see him all the time and stuff. It's just we never really bring up the situation or anything.
All right. Your mom gets along with him good?
Her dad?
Yeah.
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 Okay.
These are not trick questions.
Yeah. So everything's cool. So everything's cool with her grandpas.
Yeah.
And she did spring into action here pretty good.
That is pretty good. Yeah. All right. So you did the right thing, and then you got into therapy. But did he rape you for a long period of time?
Just one time.
Just one time.
But see, that's just it. Nobody else knows this. Actually, you guys are the first people I am telling this to. My own mother doesn't even know. As far as everybody knows, he's only done it once.
But it happened repeatedly?
Yeah, he's been doing it since I was like 10 or 11.
All right. Well, listen, you got to stay in therapy. And you got to talk to the therapist about this. It is crucial to you.
I can't stay in therapy. We can't afford it.
Well, if they find out that you started when you were younger, they may be... Maybe some victim services available for you, something like that.
All the money's going in the
But then how am I supposed to go about that? Because they've already given him his sentencing.
Well, he got his sentencing based on them thinking he raped you one time.
Mm-hmm.
What was the sentence?
He's in jail for a minimum of 4 years, maximum of lifetime. It all depends on how he does in the rehab courses and stuff.
Right. I'm not so sure that you're talking about the extent of things or would change it that much.
They think once at 14, the courts.
As far as she knows.
Yes, Scarlett?
I'm sorry, what?
They think, hey, Scarlett.
Yeah.
Well, she's the social
worker. I'm sorry. Listen carefully, though, please.
Okay.
The courts think you were raped one time at age 14.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And I got to believe... hold on a second. I want to talk amongst ourselves. You know, I do think these counts pile up.
All right.
And I do think they do this with murder, and they do this with other crimes where it adds up. You get 4 years per whatever. I don't know how it goes if you're raping someone over the course of 3 years. You're not going to get 175 years in prison. But I got to believe 4 year minimum. I mean, this guy might be out in 28 months or something. You know what I'm saying?
Let's figure out why she doesn't tell other people. Scarlett.
All right. As long as Scarlett.
Yeah.
As long as you were. Well, first off, if this had been going on for a long period of time and you were silent about it, and I don't blame you for that, you're a kid, how'd it come out eventually when you're 14 or 15?
I don't know. It just, like, kind of shocked me because what ended up happening was I fell asleep on the couch and I woke up when he was raping me.
And that was enough for you? That was it? Suddenly you had it?
So, it just, like, freaked me out. I think
when you were 14.
I know. So that's, you decided to say something after a number of years.
Yeah.
Okay, and so you finally decided to say something, and then when you finally decided to say something, you just talked about that one incident.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, tell your therapist about the fact that it's been a longer thing. Okay?
Yeah.
Will you commit to us that, at least?
Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. You're not going to get in any trouble or anything.
You're a victim. You had nothing to do with any of this. You were a child. This was an out-of-control, sick adult.
Right.
Who himself had been victimized in some horrible way, no doubt. But now he's an adult. Now he's a criminal.
Hopefully they're being victimized as we speak.
Yeah.
This went on for a number of years. Your mom never had any inkling that this was going on?
She had no idea.
That's why it makes us think something happened to your mom.
Yeah.
But we're convinced.
I know you're letting her off the hook. We're not. I think there's something up with her. And it's sort of negligent parenting, at least. I mean, your daughter's being raped by your husband, and there's no...
They're divorced now.
No, I understand now that she...
They divorced a couple of years ago.
I know, but she was in the house and living. You guys were all living together while he was raping you, right?
For, like, for a year, yeah.
It's bizarre that she didn't pick up on something.
Yeah. Normally, when it happened, she wasn't home because she was cheating on him.
This we're talking about. Right. She has some culpability here.
Your mom's
a piece of work.
Your mom's a piece of work. But here's the whole thing, Scarlett. Tell the therapist what you told us.
Yes, please.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Here's the deal. Mom couldn't possibly know. She was out busy screwing some other guy. How could she possibly know that dad was raping me at home?
Touche. You make a compelling argument. Fantastic. You're right. She's a saint. I had no idea. And by the way, I don't apologize very often, but when you're wrong, you're wrong. I was wrong about this woman. She's a delight. I'd like to have her by for dinner. Listen to some PSAs. She can watch me throw a tantrum. Look, mom's a mess. And what we were saying earlier about mom possibly being victimized is the moms who bring home the predators are the moms who were the prey.
Attracted to predators. Yes,
they're attracted to predators. Them. They were yesterday's prey is today's lure for the predator.
Yeah. But taking back Sundays.
Oh, yeah. Hey, we got to hear some
good times. Good times.
This,
good times.
This is what you call feel-good music, by the way. I'll tell you what. You want to dance? It's Taking Back Sunday. All right, let's hear. Can we hear a song, Anderson? Are we cool? We can squeeze one in, right? Yeah. Come on, buddy.
Come on. Here we go. Here we go. Bring it on.
Come on. Let's break it down.
It's actually
get
Chris.
It handed. Chris, let's go, buddy.
Yeah, how long is the song?
Let's go. Song.
8 minutes.
They covered...
2 days long.
It's a live version of Stairway to Heaven.
Three minutes. Here we go.
All right.
Actually, it's Freebird.
It's called the Set Phasers to Stun.
Your fingers hit the screen. One moment and please, I know where to find
it. It's worse than I said. What a big mistake. And the ones who look down, keeping me away.
Well, I will never make another promise.
But you let me. I'm comfortably confused.
You've gotten so removed.
You know why I can take the wind of those pills. Ocean blue, face of white. Now who are you gonna call tonight?
Well, I will never make another promise.
Studio tonight on Kimmel Tonight, name of the CD, Where You Want to Be. We'll take ourselves a quick break. CD is out, by the way, as we speak. Drew on the computer, on the lead computer, take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, Clubline, Adam. That's Dr. Drew, Taking Back Sunday in studio tonight. You said to hear an uncomfortable exchange between Drew and I. We argued during the break.
They were looking down the whole time.
Oftentimes.
It was cute. Oh, no. We were giving each other secret hand signals.
Really?
Yes.
It's really, it's way more uncomfortable for the people who hear it, I realize, than Drew and I, who have these
every night.
Serious...
Dude, hop on our bus. Yeah. Hop on our bus for about 25 minutes.
We tour with...
Let's see if you're running for your life.
There's 12 people that are in the bus with us. We are better at tuning things out than anyone that I know.
Oh, yeah. Good.
So, that didn't make us uncomfortable.
Good.
Even a little bit. Actually, I was thinking about the PSA still.
Good.
Totally.
It sucks. Good. Focus. That's right. Prioritize. All right. Drew, you're all right.
Yeah.
You're not wounded.
No.
Everything's good.
I think you guys should hug, though.
No.
We don't. We don't.
No?
We don't.
Too weird.
We don't.
All right. Well, look, we're not going on with the show. Because we had a talk.
We're fine. But listen, we got to have another fight tomorrow night. So what, you know, what's the big deal?
Well, no. Then you hug again. See, and then maybe it'll grow from there.
Then it loses its meaning, its value. See, it's just.
I think you guys could find the love in your relationship again.
Hugging through.
See, because you're thinking about it, because you want it, because you need that affection from Dr.
Hugging through would be a combination between hugging Larry King and an ironing board.
An ironing board.
That's what I meant.
Wow, that's got hidden meaning, huh?
Yeah, it does. Stiff as a board, maybe.
Larry King, and you just imagine what hugging Larry King would feel like, and then go ahead and cross pollinate him with an ironing board, and now hug him. Imagine what that would feel like.
Or a cigar store Indian.
Look, or wooden Indian.
Does Larry King stand up? I've never even seen him unseated.
No,
I don't think he has legs.
Yeah,
he does, but then the guy has to stand up
totally.
The marionette guy.
I'm also insulted by the caution contents maybe hot thing on my coffee cup right here.
Oh, really?
Because if you can't tell...
We've never known.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's like the lady that won all that money from the super big fast food chain for...
Who dumped the money in her crotch.
It's like, you idiot, that's your fault. That's your fault.
I know.
For being an idiot.
We got to get the lawyers out of this
coffee's
country.
Coffee's traditionally served hot.
Yeah, it's a warm beverage for the most part. Let's go for the
coffee served hot?
And the blended,
Yeah, hot coffee is.
Okay, things I've learned today. Coffee is served hot.
These guys are taking liberties. It's really funny here.
No, we're trying to lighten the mood.
They showed up.
I was afraid you guys would start slapping each other.
Fresh-faced kids, and now they're as bitter as we are.
We're moving in on your turf, see?
Justin, you're 22.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going, guys?
What up?
Well, my question is actually for Dr. Drew. My father, he's actually from Ireland. He's been drinking pretty much all his life, you know. He's born and raised...
Somebody from Ireland with alcoholism.
It's a part of the culture, you know, to drink everything.
It's not just part of the culture. It's part of the biology of that genetic heritage. They have a very high incidence of this gene.
Yeah. Alcoholism. Well, anyways, he's been drinking all my life. Actually, my parents got divorced because my father drank too much.
All right, what's the question?
Well, the question is, me and my brother both moved out of our house about a year and a half ago. We moved back in. I've noticed in the last year he's getting a lot worse with his drinking. He doesn't drink at home, but he goes to the bar.
It's a progressive disorder.
Yeah. You're 22, and you really, first off, moving back home is never a good idea.
Yeah, I know.
It's always a bad idea, and especially with an alcoholic McBoozer for a dad. You don't want to do that.
It sounds like they're really kind of going back in to take care of dad as much as anything.
My dad is a great guy. You know, he treats me and my brother both like great. You know, but I think he's becoming dependent on me and my brother because me and my brother are the only like two people that he really has here. You know, in the United States.
Well, you're the enablers now, though. You're also allowing him to keep going with his disease. If you really care, you're concerned that he's going to die of his condition, which very commonly happens.
Mm-hmm.
You got to step up. You got to say, look, we can't keep supporting this. We can't be a part of your demise. We're going to have to be out of your life unless you do something about this.
All right. Maybe you go to Al-Anon.
I've heard of interventions, I've heard on the show of interventions, but you say it does cost a lot of money, which I'm only 22, you know, I don't have $10,000.
But what Adam said is go to Al-Anon, which is go to yourself, go to a 12-step program where you learn about how to deal with family members with this disease. And in my experience, that move has a more profound impact on the identified patient than anything else. If you go to Al-Anon, he has a probability of then getting
that's your first move.
That's your move. It's free.
Audrey.
Oh, hi.
17?
What?
You big fan of the band?
Yes, I'm a really big fan.
Yeah.
Ooh, good answer. Thank you.
There's one.
Hey, yeah, so I have just been going around the city all day from, like, way in the early morning trying to see you guys. When you were at Tower, they sold out. And then so we went to, me and my friend Amy, we went to Jimmy Kimmel at 4 to wait for you guys. But then, long story short, my friend had to go home. So we found a ride, because we don't drive, we found a ride back to Jimmy Kimmel at 9. Mm-hmm. I'm really nervous, sorry. We found all a ride back to Jimmy Kimmel at 9. And the security guards wouldn't let us in. So we just waited outside, and we were watching you guys from outside. And you guys were so good, and we heard you.
Oh, thank you.
It was really awesome, and we love you guys. And, yes, we went to the side. And, you know, you had to leave. You had to go to Loveline. So,
it's a fitting end to the day now that we're all together.
And here's the real fitting part. We're out of time.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
But just under the wire, girl.
Thanks,
thank you for your support. When are you guys going to be back in town, like, where I can meet you guys and stuff? Because I love you guys so much.
Fall tour?
Yeah.
Fall tour, baby doll.
Maybe October.
Your headliner tour?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
All right, Audrey.
Okay, thank you guys.
Get your license before then.
All right, and I love Loveline, too. I love all of you guys.
Thanks, sweet pea. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Well, that's the show, everybody. I want to thank Taking Back Sunday for coming in. And
thank you for having us.
Being smart enough to agree with almost everything I said.
I just agree with pick it up and sell themselves.
You know what these guys did? Something improv called Yes and not only that, but. See, that's a little game. Take that.
But they would have followed after that. They were good.
All right.
And not only that, but I would just like to say for all the listeners out there, to next time you're on an airplane, please don't forget to buckle up.
Please. Thank you.
Yeah. Do when you're in the airport, don't set your computer down.
Laptop computers. They get stolen. All right. Where you want to be, name of the CD on Kimmel tonight. God bless you. Come back as soon as you can. Until next time, this is Adam Kroll for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Wow, where do you keep your wallet?
My hip. Up your ass, you mutt!
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.